Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Bele. We thank God so much for you. Thank our sister that led us in worship. Thank you, Pastor Grace. Father, we once again, we are so delighted to be in your presence. Father, the sacrifice on this altar is so pleasing to you. We always long to be on this altar because of the incense. Again, we humble ourselves before you and we look to you tonight. Father, too, by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you will open our eyes, cause us to see, cause us to hear the things that will edify us, strengthen our faith, empower us, give us more effectiveness as we wait on this altar of prayer. Father, thank you for every one of your daughters and sons of Zion on this line tonight. Thank you so much for the grace you poured out. Thank you for your hand upon each and every one of them. Father, thank you for how you have, even those of our family members, the willing women that traveled to the international convention and came back safely. Thank you so much for everyone that has held the ground while they travel. Again, we give you glory and honor for all the various ministries represented under ASLPN and connected. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in this nation, making us a small part of it. Again, we commit this altar to you, that everything that is done and said on this altar will reveal you, will glorify you, will magnify you, and will exalt you. Receive all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited to be on the line with you all. This altar is full of very sweet incense because there's so much sacrifice. You labor night and day, you go to work, your family, but there's such a hunger, such a desire for more, for you to be up at this time just to again wait to hear and to for us to feed at the feet of the Lord by His Spirit. So I pray God will continue to create this hunger in you, and it will always never depart from you. Amen. Tonight we just continue to just allow the Spirit of God to encourage us, especially in the times we live in. We live in a very strange time, in a very, very uncertain time. So we just want to be encouraged. For example, because I remember a few years ago, before now, what is happening has become like a virus, has become like a contagious all across the nation, especially the Western world. When the news first went about, the legalization of gay marriage in Canada, I cannot even tell you how, my heart was so broken, I was crying, and I never dreamt it's going to be something that will, as the scripture has said, is something that will surely happen. We can't stop it, going across the world. The days that we live in will be like the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. So it's something that scriptures has to be fulfilled. But again, as we are praying and seeking God for the revelation of the glory of God, for the redemption of our generation, there are certain things you see and it's very easy to want to give up. So tonight, I just want to share, as the Lord leads, something to encourage us not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, he said, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." That is an amazing statement, amazing revelation. And once we understand these different nuggets or principles in the Bible, it really helps us in the area of prayer and steadfastness in prayer. And it also helps us in the things we're believing God for our own children, the things we're believing God for our various ministries, and the things we're believing God for a city or a nation, or even what we see in this generation. There's a news right now that you can go check what is, again, a new thing that is developed in the month of June in Canada, you know, where it's all kinds of debate. And, you know, the Supreme Court of Canada has made a decree that is shocking everybody, and people are still researching about the freedom for people to really have relationships with animals, you know, literally made open under the law, I mean national law. So we are living in a time where we really have to walk by faith and not by sight. What does it mean to walk by faith and not by sight? Sight is what your five senses has approved to be reality. Sight is your feelings, your taste, your what you see, what you touch, what you taste, what you feel, the five senses that is facilitated by the human brain, you know. So everything that technology can do, everything that man has capacity to do, everything that the human brain has ability to do, and feel, touch, see, the wonders of just the human ability that God has given to man. And so the five senses, everything the five senses can establish as fact, as the or truth to the human world, is sight. Is that's what we study, that word sight. So Paul is saying here to the Corinthian church, he says, we walk not by sight, what we see, feel, touch. We walk by faith. So what is faith? You know, faith in this context, just for time, because it's a whole subject in Hebrews 11. But faith in this context is we walk by the promises of God, or the word of God, or the will of God. We walk by the will of God or the word of God, led by the Spirit of God. So the word of God is spirit. It's the word of God, though, is letter, but the spirit of the word is life. You cannot feel, see, touch it. It's the word of God. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Of course, verse 14, 1 John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. God manifested in the flesh. So, so the word of God can never return void. The word of God has a capacity to do everything God says he can do. There is nothing impossible when God has spoken. The word of God is eternal. It says heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one iota of that word will fail to pass or come to. So the word of God is God himself. So it's powerful. Now, Paul is saying, we walk not by sight. So for what we're sharing tonight, but by the word of God. Faith in the word of God. We believe in the word of God. For example, we don't see the oxygen that we breathe. We sometimes we can feel it, but you can see it. But it is the essence of life. So the same thing is the presence of God and the word of God. We don't see it, we don't feel it, but sometimes, of course, we can feel the presence and the glory of God. But the word of God has to, we believe it by faith. We believe it by faith. So again, we walk not by sight. Our five senses are literally obstacles to obeying the word of God. So without faith, it's impossible. God says, it's impossible, Hebrews 11:6, to please God. Meaning, without faith, it's impossible to walk with God. It's impossible to experience the supernatural. It's impossible to manifest the promises of God. So, again, we walk not by sight, but by faith. In other words, walk not by sight, but by the word of God, the promise of God, the covenants of God. So once we understand this, it changes our prayer life. The Bible says when Jesus was teaching the principles of prayer in the book of Luke chapter 18 with the widow woman and the unjust judge, the end of it says that God is looking for faith. And the beginning of it says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Meaning, the end of it, God says, is looking for faith. And then the beginning says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Meaning, the fainting part is not to give up. Why do we give up? The end says, God is looking for people that will not give up. So, giving up means something cost us at some point in our prayer to give up. And normally, from experience and through the Bible, what has always caused men to give up is sight, is the five senses. Because the moment you begin to pray, you begin to believe God, God has spoken to you. Naturally, if you look through the Bible, immediately what your five senses sees gradually begins to deny your expectation. Begin to tell you what God said and what God promised you will never happen. Because your five senses and what you see, feel, touch, and is becoming to show you that it's not going to happen. But Jesus says, the woman tarried until there was a change. And God said, that's what God is looking for. So tonight, we want to encourage ourselves because we are not praying in vain. We never wait on God in vain. We never seek God in vain. And God is not a liar. He has spoken and is giving us his word written down and revealed to us that anyone who believes this word, God will never fail him. God will never disappoint him. So as intercessors, as people that pray, I want to let you know tonight, it's impossible for you to be praying, fasting, seeking God, and God does not answer. And God has not answered. God answers prayer, and God responds to every fasting and prayer that we do. So why do people give up? Why do people faint? It's because of what we see in the physical. It's because of what our five senses are informed and what we believe to be the true condition because of our five senses, rather than believing what we don't see. So I'm going to read a few scriptures to us tonight, a very long reading, but the reading will eventually speak for itself. And the whole purpose tonight, as I read the scriptures, is to establish a few things to us. As intercessors, do not walk by sight, especially if you're believing God for your children, a miracle for your child, breakthrough for your children. Do not walk by sight. If you're believing God for a husband, if you're believing God for a healing, if you're believing God for financial breakthrough, for promotion, whatever you're believing God for, do not walk by what you see, what the condition looks like in the physical, what it feels like to you. Believe the word of God. Stand upon the word of God. Wait upon the word of God. Because what you don't see is always how God is working. And eventually the breakthrough comes. So a few examples before I read this, so that as I read this, as I read the scriptures, you can be hearing from God from yourself as I'm reading it. So a few examples, just a quick examples in the Bible. When God spoke to Joseph through a dream, if you watch what happens, if you walk by sight,
everything that started happening with Joseph was contrary to the expectation of that promise. Everything Joseph was going through in the flesh was totally denying the reality of that dream. So why the sight is saying a negative situation, it will never happen, it's over, it's dead, finally, in Pharaoh's dungeon. It was in the spirit, while the outer man was perishing, in the spirit, the inner man, the plans and purpose of God, the unseen realm, is being put literally in position and being established. So by the standard of the things of the spirit, our promotion, our victories are usually closest to when it looks in the physical that we have lost. In the spirit, that's exactly when you're close to your victory, your biggest victory. So that's why, as intercessors, as men and women who walk by faith, we cannot define the times of our victory or what we're going through by what you see. Amen. So look at Abraham. God gave him a promise. God spoke. Immediately that word begins to grow and take effect inside of him. And in the spirit, that word is also heading towards the time of the manifestation. But in the physical, as Abraham and Sarah walked by sight, it came to the point Sarah's womb, the woman, the womb of promise, died. Literally died. Even came into a point of old age. Impossible with human senses. So if they walked by sight, and they did, you can see how humanly, immediately you begin to contradict God. But your flesh, your mind, everything begins to tell God you're a liar. Our five senses are the greatest enemy of faith. Our five senses, literally in waiting on God, at some point will tell God, you have lied to me. But in the spirit, what happened to Abraham? Everything died in the flesh. At the worst moment in the flesh, where the five senses say it's over, that's when in the spirit the time has come. And God told Abraham, the moment has come. Your name is changed. Here is what you've been waiting for. Isaac was born. Sarah's womb was. So, what God is looking for is faith. And faith is simply the moment you have heard from God, or the moment the word of God is quickening to you, is impossible for what God has spoken not to come to pass. Every other thing, God can awaken it if he dies. God can move. God can do anything to make his word come to pass. That's why it will never return empty. Here's another example. God spoke to Moses, you know, and from the time the word of God came alive in him, everything went contrary in the flesh. But later, when it looks like Moses has come to his end, when he thought nothing else, he can't do anything, that's when God says, that promise is now to come to pass. The same thing with David. The same thing with all these great men and women. And that's why God set aside a whole chapter in the Bible in Hebrews just to give an example by faith how men and women were able to overcome and to bring such glory to God in their generation because they did not walk by sight. They walked by faith. They walked by faith. So I just want to encourage us, I'll read the scriptures now, to encourage us as you listen to the scriptures, there is hope for America. As America is looking at its worst moment, with all these decrees and all these things that in the physical, our five senses says, what is going on? As we look at nations making decrees, as it looks like the kings and the nations of the earth, their conspiracy is coming to pass. It looks like people are praying in vain. My brothers and sisters, the Bible is so amazing. The wisdom of God is so deep. And that's why Paul says, don't walk by sight. Believe your prayers. Believe the prophetic promises of this generation. Believe what God is saying. And watch as you see these signs, God says, watch out for what I'm about to do. Amen. So we walk not by sight. We walk, we stand on anything God has said. And no matter what we're seeing in the physical, we should not be moved. Or else we are going to cut off. Or we'll faint and then we'll give up. And then we don't see the fulfillment of our expectation. So I want to read the scripture now. Long stories. I'll read one and read another one. So look at these stories and you see, and then we'll conclude how we need to walk by faith and not by sight when God is answering our prayers. The first is Luke chapter 8. I'll read from verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him. Meaning he started praying, really serious prayer, begging him that he should come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she laid a dying. She's dying. She's sick. But as he went, you know, Jesus has answered now. Okay. So as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed on thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she has touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spoke, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he had come into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewildered her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straight away. And he commanded to give her food, meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Okay, I'm going to read another story. This is in John chapter 11 from verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Here is a sick person again of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he said unto his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee,
and thou goest there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he sees the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. This thing said he, and after that he said to them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. How be it Jesus spoke of his death? But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was at the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Verse 36, then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, Take you away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto him, Lord, Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he has thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen these things which Jesus did, believed on him. I read this scripture. I know it's a lot of reading, these two stories. And the point, just simple point, we as intercessors need to get from this is, we cannot walk by sight as people of prayer. We must walk by faith. Jesus responded to Jairus. The condition was sickness when he said, I'm going to take care of this, I'm coming. But along the way, it looks like there was a delay. The same thing happened to Lazarus. This is a family that Jesus spent a lot of time with. He stays there, goes there to eat. Literally, that is his place when he comes to Jerusalem area. And here, his own friend, the Bible says his friend, was sick. He stayed 2 days. By the time he got to Lazarus, he was dead. For 4 days, his body's probably smelling. It was like a delay. But the key is, when Jesus was told he was sick, he said, this sickness is for the glory of God. Meaning, God is responding to the situation. So what is prayer? Prayer is like Jairus coming to Jesus, coming to the Lord. He's prayed. And Jesus says, okay, I've answered. Your solution is on the way. Prayer is like Mary and Martha sending a message, crying out to Jesus, come, my brother is sick. God, do something about this. He answered. It's for the glory of God. Your prayer is answered. Daniel was praying and God released the answer. But there's a delay in the spirit. So sometimes it looks like there's a delay. But the problem of the delay is not, it has nothing to do with God. Our expectation and the time we're expecting God to do things are the problems we face most of the time. We premeditate how God will do something. We premeditate when God should do it, and then we premeditate exactly how God will do it. In our human senses, we are already programmed by the cultural 5 senses on timing and how God needs to do it. So, for us as human, our limitation to expect a miracle is as long as somebody's alive. Sickness, we can deal with it. He can come and heal sickness. But our 5 senses don't understand somebody dying. So when somebody, God says, I have answered, I will take care of it, it's over. In the spirit, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life, meaning the word of God gives life to anything. Word of God has no limit because the word of God is God. The word of God carries the infinite power of God. When God speaks, the weight of the kingdom of God is in the word of God. So the word of God has no material physical limitation. Physical limitations are to our 5 senses. So when we pray, when we are seeking God, our 5 senses says, okay, if this problem is persisting, our 5 senses will start saying, oh my God, the sickness. And all of a sudden, our 5 senses, Jairus, your daughter is dead, it's over, forget it, don't worry. And Jesus is there. God has already said it's done. So, forget it. So the 5 senses has concluded, my limitation has come, my end has come, that's where I stop, it's over. Jesus immediately stopped and said, no. With the kingdom of God, it's not over. For man, that's the fear of man is within his limitation. So don't fear. This God has no limitation. And he went there and raised the daughter from the dead. And the people were shocked. My brothers and sisters, can I say this to you? In the spirit,
What we call miracle is normal. In the spirit, they don't call it miracle, because the spiritual world is a supernatural world. It's only miracle because our five senses cannot receive it. Our five senses call it miracle because our five senses is limited. So when somebody is sick, or the problems we're facing is little, we say, okay, God can do this. But the moment the problem is big and magnified, we say, it's over. So we judge the power of God through our five senses. So if he's sick, God can do it. If he's dead, it's over. So we put our five senses in the position of God. And that's what causes us to faint. As we pray, things look like they're not getting better. We pray, it looks like. So after a while, our five senses is over. No, with God, it's when it looks impossible, that's when God gets the greatest glory. So that's why Jesus told them, he says, this sickness will bring God a big glory. So they said, sickness will bring God a big glory. So, all right, now from sickness to death, they gave up. But Jesus says, no, it will bring a greater glory. So will Lazarus having headache or fever, or Lazarus dying, which one will give God more glory? So with God, whether it's headache, whether it's debt, whether it's $20 you're waiting for, or $2 million to pay a bill, whatever the problem is, God has no limit. The limit is our five senses. So when we begin to pray and believe God, God is saying, stand on my word and my word alone. That becomes the rock. God will shake everything about our five senses. And one of the ways he will shake everything that can be shaken through our five senses is, the situations can look worse. The situation can look any way. It can look like the people came to tell Jairus, it's over. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother him anymore. Or like Mary and Martha, they have seen Jesus. They know he loves them. They know he cares about them. It's like, if you had been here, this would not have happened. You know, they've concluded. He's dead. He's thinking. So let's forget about it. But with God, there is no limitation. Life, death, sick, whatever it is. So the point that the Lord is teaching us, when he says God is looking for faith, God is looking for people who do not base their expectation for an answered prayer on material limitation. They don't quit in prayer because the situation is looking impossible. Actually, when the situation looks impossible, that's when you are closest to the possibilities of God in the area of prayer. So that's the struggle we face as intercessors. That was the struggle Zachariah faced. Zachariah prayed for years. He watched the womb of the wife die in the midst of prayer. They're getting old in the midst of prayer. So when an angel came and says, your answer has come, his five senses says, how do I know it? It's over. And the angel said, I'm from heaven talking to you, and you're saying it's over? He will not speak until you see it. So my brothers and sisters, let's be encouraged tonight. It does not matter how America looks in the physical. It does not matter how the problems of our generation look. As long as God knows there are people praying, and they are praying based on his promises for the nation, there is a guarantee heaven will have the last say. God will be glorified. No matter what you see. So basically, the whole Hebrews 11 is based on men and women in their generation that did not base the possibilities of God on what they see. They based it on the power of the promises of God and on God's capacity to do the impossible. And they never wavered with what they saw until what God promised came to pass. The reason I'm also sharing this as I conclude is this. It's a little bit an experience I just have had also myself. For many years, you know, from when the Lord, you know, like he's called all of us, we just are all dust that God has given a privilege by his spirit to be part of a generation crying for God to have mercy on the nation. And because we've been called into this place, this is our Jerusalem. This is the place of our assignment in the area of prayer. So God says, if you find yourself captive in any place, pray for the peace, pray for the prosperity, pray, partner with God for the destiny of that place to prevail, not for the enemy to prevail. So I found myself here. God says, pray for this nation and the future of this nation. So we've been praying, but as I see, from the time we started praying, it looks like things were, you know, spinning. But God showed all those things. So as God started giving this understanding, I now started understanding what it means to walk by faith. If you walk by faith, you will not go by your feelings. You will not go whether somebody's thinking and has been dead for 4 days. Do what you can to hear from the Lord. Wait on God. Pray. If you're facing any situation, if you're facing a marital, if you're facing a financial, take time to wait. Take time to pray. The moment you are able to hear from the Lord is over. Once you hear God's mind on that situation, it's finished. Every other thing, no matter what you see in the physical, it will give way at the appointed time. God's time is the time of manifestation. Our time varies because we are human. But God's time is you wait until it happens after you've heard from the Lord. Amen. So, for me, 25 years ago, I made a lot of commitments to the Lord about just believing God to see things happen in America. So that's been going for so long. And one of those commitments I made was that I will just keep my single-mindedness until that happens. But one thing God just did this, I think I shared it last time, and I'm sharing it again for a purpose, is sometimes God knows when we're weary and we're tired. I never expected that God will tie my expectation to see God move in our city or even see God do something in my personal life on the nation to this condition I gave to God about marriage. So this year, June, the Lord really met me in a very supernatural way and said, I'm going to give you a sign that what you're believing is not past. I'm still a God who raises the dead, who does things. You know, showed me this pattern and then told me my season of singleness is over and that part is dead and I'm crossing over to a new season of a married life and stuff. So as soon as I surrendered to that, God started opening my eyes that just like Zachariah, the condition, the physical condition of Zachariah and his wife was tied to the condition of Israel and the condition of the nation. So Zachariah receiving the breakthrough of a child, that child was connected to a prophecy, and the prophecy was connected to the coming of Christ. So God was showing me, says, this marriage is not just because of physical, you know, everything, but it's also a sign that you've come into a season that change is about to come to the nation. That even those things that people don't expect, even those things that look like they're dead, even those things that it looks like it's over, like Zach, it says God is about to turn things around. Not just for the nation, not just for the city, but even for believers, for our lives. So God used that to show me we have entered a new season. And the only reason I can believe it is I am the first recipient of this miracle. Because God literally has raised, totally transformed my mind, my heart, and my soul. And so I surrendered to the Lord, and the Lord opened my eyes and showed me, you know, the woman that he has prepared from the foundations of the world for this assignment. So as families, as friends, as people that we pray together, we seek God together, we are on this line learning together, I've just been transparent before you. There's nothing to hide. So that's why I'm sharing this with you. So with my personal experience, I believe God is bringing a new season to all of us. Because when God visited Zachariah, the next month he visited Mary. In the same season, he was just visiting people and bringing a new, a prophetic season into their lives. So I believe God is bringing a new season to all of us.
because that new season is what God is also doing in the nation. So, by the grace of God, after I accepted the Lord that I'm ready to do anything He wants, I'm ready to enter into this new marriage life and just allow God have His way. God blessed me with probably the most wonderful woman in the whole world, and I made a commitment. Yes, I'm gonna do that. So, as my brothers and sisters, join me. Just keep praying, because God also gave me a date. He said it's gonna be on the Feast of Tabernacles, and for those of you that are not aware, it's gonna be on the 23rd of October. So I just encourage you to keep us in prayer. You can go on the website. You see mkwedding.org. You can, as family, you can register and be see the informations there to come and join in this prophetic time of celebrating a major miracle that God has done in my life and God is about to do. But we have a solemn assembly coming up. And I know that many of you have traveled to conferences. You've been going to vacations and stuff. So we don't want it to take away from your commitment to be at the solemn assembly. But if God opens the door for you to be able to make it, check the website and try to join us. And I really believe it's prophetic. And I believe I will be sharing more what this sign means to this hour that we live in. So look at the website, mkwedding.org. Keep Keziah in your prayers. And it's amazing what God has done and what God is doing. And thank you all so much for your prayers. Please keep me in your prayers also as we enter this new season together. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. You are truly a miracle worker. I am a living testimony of a resurrection experience. And I thank you for what you are symbolizing this for all of us and for this season. Father, that we should receive your word, wait on your word, and believe your word regardless of what we see or feel. If a man is dead for 4 days and is thinking, and because you've already spoken, Father, that word never returns void. What condition, what stinking situation, what mountain can we go through that you are not able to overthrow? So today, Father, I proclaim that it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your spirit, awaken faith in our hearts that we know our prayers are not in vain. Our expectations will not be cut off, but the season has come that all your promises will begin to pass, and America will not, oh God, be overruled by Satan, because you are about to move and do a thing, Father, that will show the whole world you love souls and you can save from the lowest and to the highest mountain. And you're going to do that for us because we believed you. We give you all the glory for our children. We give you all the glory for all the marriages. Father, we are believing for the generation of the things that are impossible to become possible. We know it's your promise and we know you will do it for the glory of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.